All right. It is 5 till 1. It is Dirk Day in our studio as the business office is learning. What's like being Dirk, huh?
Hey, guys.
Everybody wants a piece of Dirk.
I'm back.
So, that, and by the way, you've always, you're unbelievable.
Thank you.
Well, we're around enough athletes to know what normal is and what abnormal is, and you're one of a kind, dude. But
I appreciate it.
That said, what the heck is Mexico like for you? Like,
did you actually see that caught me on TMZ?
I did.
Yeah.
And
what was that?
Not just
crazy.
Not cool.
Not
shredded.
Cool. No. Yeah.
It
wasn't that shredded anymore, unfortunately.
Where'd they catch him? The beach?
In the water, yeah.
Yeah. So I was only there for like 3-4 days.
On the
last day, we went in the water. And they must have hit somewhere because there was barely anybody at that point. There was barely anybody on the beach. They must have hit behind the beach in the bushes, and taking a few photos and must have sold it to TMZ Sports. So, they made me look good. They made me look good. They said I had a shredded retirement beach bod, so it almost looked staged, but it wasn't. I promise,
man.
This is the second time they caught me in Mexico. I was before in Cabo with the kids, actually, and they caught me. The Morris was still a baby, and we carried him in our arms, and they caught us having in our arms at the beach. So that was a tough one, but they kind of blurred out his face. But yeah, I guess I'm big time enough to get on TMZ, which I would have
never
thought. There's a certain value in knowing somebody could sell a picture of you in the water and it would actually be a financial coup for them. There's something about that must be
which
wild.
I never thought that would ever happen.
Yeah, but at the same time, your ability to go anywhere, I mean, I guess you've been 7 feet tall for long enough that it doesn't even faze you anymore, but just the ability to go to a restaurant or to go to literally any place in the world and not instantly be recognized, very few people deal with that because celebrities can grow a beard, put on a baseball hat, and do something. You're generally going to be 7 feet tall no matter what you try.
Yeah, it's tough to hide, you know. Sometimes I put a hat on and some sunglasses like in Disney World.
Oh, okay.
I tried that. But, you know, it's hard to hide at 7 feet. We saw that right away early in our careers when Steve and I would go out and he just put a hat on at the airport or something and just kind of fit in with his, whatever he was, 5'8", 5'7", I don't know.
Yeah, he can do
what
it.
He was. But, and just, you know, it's like they always look, he's tall. Oh, wait a minute. That's such and such. So it's just, even on second look, they usually recognize me.
So at Disney, are you in Gen Pop?
Yeah, we did a tour, but obviously we're still, you know, you got to go from ride to ride and you want to give the kids a nice experience. So we did 3 days.
Okay, they don't have a celebrity wing where you can avoid the beating?
No, you basically walk through. But
do you fit in the rides?
Most of them, I think one or two I wasn't able, but that Small World, did all that stuff, and even squeezed into the Avatar one is amazing there, which is the most popular ride there now. I even did that, which was really tight, but I was able to squeeze in. So
so one of the things about Disneyland that gets everybody is their kids, especially their daughters, and I think your oldest might be a girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forget your roster. Is it a girl and two boys?
Okay. Yeah.
The girl can't believe she's meeting the Disney princesses. When, you know, I mean, no disrespect to anyone listening here, but spoiler alert, it's generally probably a high school or college girl in an outfit rather than actually being actual Cinderella or whoever you're running into. But the kids, they can't get enough of that.
Yeah.
They can't believe they're meeting. So you're going through the weird deal where people are looking at you standing with no doubt a college girl and And the prince, the kids get that for days, though. That's the main attraction at Disney, I think.
Yeah.
For
no,
the six-year-old girls.
We saw a parade, and we saw everything. So they're just seeing them happy and having the biggest smiles ever. And didn't want to leave. They still talk about it now. When are we going back to Orlando? So that obviously makes it worth it, but it was already super hot. It was like 95.
Yeah.
It was humid. All the adults were breathing hard, but the kids weren't phased at all.
In studio, this is Dirk. Hey, the street's going to be named after you that we're on right now. Is that weird?
That's super weird, you know.
I should think it should be Dirk Drive or something.
Yeah.
Seems phonetically better.
Yeah, I think they were talking about it, I guess, which right after the season, they had that idea, which came to me out of nowhere. It's the first time I heard it, so I was a little overwhelmed. I was like, are you serious? That's obviously a great honor, but are you sure you want to do this? But they were serious, so it ended up being, I guess, Nowitzki Way, which is still, I mean, unbelievable. So it's
yeah, I wonder if that'll say that over the parking garage, because right now it says 3090 Olive.
Yeah.
Will it say 3090 Nowitzki?
Maybe.
Probably. Or change our address to 41.
Yeah. If you get on it.
Yeah, I'll be all over that. I want to talk about that last home game because I thought it was incredible as a, you know, as a fan. So I'm wondering what it was like for you. You were on fire. You just came out firing away.
Early.
Yeah. But I think you had your season high in points by the third quarter. And you had a dunk in the third quarter and the place went nuts. Like, just what was that whole night like? And then leading up to the, you know, the big reveal after the game.
So, yeah, I'm obviously in my head, I knew this was going to be my last home game. So I knew I wanted to make it special. And before the game, I basically told the team, and I think they even caught it in the huddle, play some good defense and pass me the ball every time down. That was the plan on offense. And yeah, I mean, literally had some great looks there early and was able to knock a few in. And it was unbelievable just to feel that again. It's that whole, like I said, the year was tough for me. And so to feel that again, sort of be on fire a little bit, be in a zone and enjoy that moment was really special for me. And but then I cooled off pretty quickly, I gotta say, there in the second half I wasn't that hot anymore. But there at the beginning of the game, that was an amazing run. And
you're as hot as you were in the All-Star game.
Yeah, exactly.
I
actually told them, don't put me back in. Anything that I do now is gonna be bad. So
yeah,
I basically only played what, couple minutes, 5-6 minutes, and that was it, which still was an unbelievable honor. And I enjoyed my time there and enjoyed being around the best athletes in the world, and I had a blast. But
the fact, though, that at those moments you could still find a little bit of magic at the right time, that has to be really that has to feel great. That,
you know, it felt great after the All-Star game. I was a little worried leading up. I wasn't shooting the ball well, and warm-ups there, you know, how the warm-ups is at the All-Star game. It's a circus. There are a million people
right.
on the court. You have to kick some off, and then they only give you a certain time period where you can shoot. And the night before at the three-point contest, I wasn't shooting the ball as well as I was hoping. I thought at least I can get in the final if I can get a nice round. So, and then in the game, you know, the first one, you know, I think Blake kind of dribbled the ball at me, and I was like, you know, obviously everybody wanted me to shoot, and make a few field goals. So I was like, I kind of went for it. And, you know, the second one kind of was like, okay, this is a little deeper. Let me try this one. And, you know, it just happened to be one of those days where they went in. So that felt really good afterwards. And, you know, just being a part of the game and being part of the weekend. And some of my friends came that have been with me to about almost every All-Star game that I've been at.
Yeah.
Holger obviously came. And some other guys, so we had a nice little crew, and I try to enjoy and soak up every moment of that weekend.
I want to go back to your final game.
Yes,
yeah,
sorry, we got sidetracked.
But you got me on a sidetrack. I want to just say, as a fan, as a Mavs fan, as a Dirk fan, I don't like you sharing the thing with Dwayne Wade. Like, I hate Dwayne Wade. Just as, you know, sports hate him. I don't know what kind of a person he is, but but it just seems like, you know, in my Dirk memories, that's, if you have an enemy, a number one nemesis, Dwayne Wade is it, right? Because 06 started, 11, he's coughing, making fun of you. You paid him back for that, certainly. But now, you know, to see him in his last game here and then you guys holding up your jerseys together, don't like it. Don't like seeing it.
Yeah, I think we came a long way. Our relationship came a long way, as I said, after those games. I think there were some moments where we didn't speak much. I think there was an All-Star game where we actually both happened to start. I think it was Vegas back in the days.
You're right.
And we were we were both starters, and we didn't shake hands. I don't know if it was 07 or 08.
That's what I want to see.
I believe it was, and I believe that's the first time in All-Star game history.
It never happened before.
Nice.
Or after. So there were some moments, obviously, both sides didn't like what was said from the other. But like I said, this is a long time ago. I think we're both men. At the end of the day, we still appreciate what the other has done for the game and for the league. So I think that's what stuck was appreciation for the other's career. And, you know, it's just not about feelings and emotions at that point anymore. And, you know, we're both older and we've been through a lot. And so that's, I think, where that came from.
And you got him. You got him in the finals. So then now we go back to the final home game this year.
Yeah. We got sidetracked.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sidetrack of a sidetrack.
Yeah. But we're back. I thought it was kind of a cool thing that Luka ends up with a triple double in that game. Like, it's almost a passing of the torch. You know, the franchise is now kind of going to him from you. The crowd is booing the Suns, not letting you get one last shot. I enjoyed that.
Is our mic giving you problems? We got chairs. We got
this,
mics.
This is good.
Yeah, we have a lot of problems in here, back. Dude. But you know that. You've been coming over here for many years. Then the post-game show was incredible. Incredible that somehow, like you said, only 2 days before you had officially decided, yet they've got Barkley, Pippen, Larry Bird, Sean Kemp, and Detlef Schrempf there. Did you have any indication that those guys were in the building? Like, it was a very well-kept secret from
everyone.
Yeah,
so like I said, I knew something was happening, and I knew they were going to do some light shows and stuff like that. I had no idea to what extent, because at this point, I didn't really want to know. First of all, I wanted to be surprised. But I also wanted to focus on that last game and I didn't want it to be a complete circus. So I wanted to still have a good game and focus on that game. So I didn't want to be too involved. So, what happened was is kind of funny. A friend of mine lives in Phoenix and he's sort of plugged in the basketball world. So I'm walking in the game. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, I was high-fiving every employee at the
AMC.
Yes, sir.
So I was doing that. And on the way in, I checked my phone one last time as I walked in the locker room, and I had over 100 tickets that night, so it was a complete mess that night. But I checked my phone one more time, and the guy in Phoenix texted me, like, hey, did you hear, I heard something, Charles Barkley is in town for your game. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no chance. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, either you just ruined a super nice surprise,
he spoiled it.
Or you're completely full of it, right? So, and then, so, but then afterwards, I was so overwhelmed, you know, with the game, and I just watched all the tributes and the videos. And the next thing you know, I heard the cheering, and kind of, I was sitting on the bench, and Coach Carlisle was kind of standing right in front of me. So when I heard the cheering, I was like, I don't know what people are cheering about. And then I kind of leaned around him and looked, and sure enough, there were all five of them. So I was like, my jaw dropped. I think that was, to me, the most overwhelming part, you know, that these guys showed up. Larry Bird, who doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
That was over the most overwhelming part of that night. And that those five guys showed up for me and showed respect, that was...
Also, overwhelming was during the game, you were watching a video tribute of yourself and you literally cried.
I did that. That was the
piece. So now you got to go back on the floor with wiping your eyes off.
I know. That was all the tributes were great, but that one kind of got me. You know, it was about the children's appearance that I do every year on Christmas, and just watching it and seeing some of those kids. And, you know, to me, that's what it's all about. You know, that's part of my legacy here, that appearance everybody looks forward to, and it's my favorite thing to do. And so that caught me super emotional. And yeah, and then I'm walking on the court and I'm trying to bend over and not show it. I'm trying to wipe my eyes. And but obviously everybody realized what was going on.
What a night. That was unbelievable. All right. We're going to do this one more time. We're going to make you sit through one more break.
Done.
Do one last segment with you. And we have some very important questions to ask you. Or right. We just have normal questions to ask you. I don't know. But yeah. We're going to have one more segment with Dirk, who is fighting a cold to be with us today. How about that on Dirk Day, the day before his birthday even, coming up next on The Ticket. This is